impossible. Shooting on the run, he killed the non-com and took out the two men on each side of him, leaving a gap for himself, a gap that opened directly in front of the careering baby carriage. Now the Sixth Hour held only two rounds. Panic, one of the sec men jerked on the trigger of his rifle. Bullets sprayed everywhere. The blaster was out of control, spitting fire across the steps, killing the woman with the leg wound. Before the sec man realized what was happening, Ryan was on top of them. With only two bullets left, there wasn't a time to get careless. He followed the trail of the carriage. A sec man stood in front of him, rifle at his hip, braced and ready. Shooting from above and on the run, Ryan was pleased to see the sec man tumble backward, blood flowering from a wound in his upper chest. The dropped blaster nearly tripped Ryan, but he managed to vault it, keeping his balance. He overtook the rocking, rolling, jolting carriage, now three-quarters of the way down the immense flight of steps. Ryan could see 30 or 40 people near the bottom, but none seemed to be in uniform, and they were all making desperate efforts to save themselves. No one seemed as though he were interested in trying to stop the one-eyed man with a smoking blaster in his fist. Then Ryan was at the bottom of the steps, seeing his avenue of escape opening to his right. The fringes of an ancient nuke site, broken buildings leaning and tumbling against one another. It was a place where nobody lived, a place where he could run, dodge, and hide, eventually working his way back toward the row of workshops where his friends were waiting for him. Ryan turned to see that the carriage had miraculously made it all the way to the bottom. It pitched over the last two stairs, its red-faced occupant still screaming its head off. A stout sec man, with faster reflexes than the rest, was halfway down the steps, and he leveled his AK-47 in Ryan's direction. The last round from the Sig Sauer hit him below the left armpit and drilled him through the chest. Shards of edged bone sliced through the man's heart and lungs. As he fell, the set guard's finger locked on the trigger. The carriage had just bounced to a stop, a few feet clear of the last stair. The baby was still strapped in place, shocked but alive. The turnips were all gone, tumbled to the four winds. Ryan clutched his empty blaster and sprinted away from his pursuers. The news took a half hour to reach Major Commissar Zemyanin. He'd been working out that evening in the seedy gymnasium beneath the monolithic building that housed the Ville's principal sec offices. He hadn't left word where he'd gone, as he intended to be out of his room for only a few minutes. But the weights had beckoned to him, and he'd been pushing himself harder and harder. He added more discs of iron to the polished bar, pressing greater and greater poundage, his muscular body streaming with sweat, veins throbbing at his temple. A young clerk eventually tracked him down, peeping cautiously into the weightlifting room.
Comrade Major Commissar Zemyanin!
At that moment, the officer was struggling to bench press 120 kilos, straining to raise the heavy bar. His teeth gritted in determination. He hardly even heard the muttered, nervous query.
Comrade Major Commissar Grigory Zemyanin!
Yes!
Message! There's a, sir, a message for you!
Zemyanin eased the bar back onto its rests and slid out from under it. He sat up and wiped himself with a clean towel.
What message? The Americans? What is it?
The man with one eye, Comrade Major Commissar. He has been seen.
Zemyanin's face didn't change expression as he turned to look at the clerk.
How many dead, comrade?
Dead? Dead?
Dead. How many?
How did you know there were people killed, Comrade Major Commissar? The news has only just reached the office and...
I have met this man once before. I know that where he sets his foot, flowers die. Where he breathes, the little bird drops out of the sky. So, how many dead?
19, Comrade Major Commissar.
Despite his steel self-control, Zemyanin couldn't quite conceal his surprise at the total.
19? On his own? No companions with him? 19 dead? With a Stechkin machine pistol? With a grenade of some... No?
The young man had shaken his head.
With a broken stick, comrade?
A single-shot handgun, they said. The dead include Sekman and a woman of 80 winters.
Slowly, very slowly, Zemyanin stood, stretching like a great cat until his muscles creaked. He sighed and shook his head.
And he escaped?
In a way, Comrade Major Commissar.
In a way? In a way? What does that mean, you slavering imbecile?
Yes, yes, he escaped. Yes, Comrade Major Commissar. I am very sorry, but he escaped.
You have no need to be sorry, boy. It was not your fault. If it had been, I would have hung you from that beam there, taken out a very thin knife, and peeled the skin from your entire body, beginning at your heels and finishing with your pretty little face.
He threw the towel to the floor, suddenly impatient to be moving.
I shall be in my office in 4 minutes and 30 seconds. I will read the full report then.
Yes, Comrade Major Commissar.
And make sure that Tracker Aliyev is ready to move immediately.
Yes, Comrade Major Commissar.
The relieved man vanished through the wing doors.
A crystal prism, used to hang in the front window of my Aunt Zelda's apartment in the South Bronx. Funny the way that became the place to live in the 1990s. Just before that, it had been like Pit City. Anyway, this crystal prism used to hang there. It would catch the sun. When I was a kid, I'd sit and watch it like it was magic. The colors would all streak the white ceiling. Aunt Zelda would say it was a wizard's paintbrush. God almighty, Ryan. Those were such good days. I was around 12. I never had such good days as when I was 12. Does anyone?
12 wasn't a happy time for me. Not with my brother.
I'd killed a man by the time I was 12.
I'd kill about 15, maybe 20. Couldn't count good.
Rick lay back on his makeshift mattress, eyes closed. Ryan looked at him, trying to remember how he looked when they'd first seen him, trying to read the hollows around the eyes and the deep lines carved around the dry-lipped mouth. The genetic spillage from the nukings a century ago still meant a very high mortality rate from disease throughout the Deathlands. Ryan must have seen thousands die of illness in his life. Once the Reaper laid his talons upon a shoulder, the signs were unmistakable, and Rick carried all of those signs. J.B. caught Ryan's eye. He looked down at the dozing Ginsburg and shook his head, motioning for Ryan to join him on the far side of the building, near where the corpses of the two thieves were already beginning to ripen and smell.
Have to be tonight. And that could be too late for him. I never saw a man so close to death who was still breathing. But the Rusky bastards will be as thick as flies on horse shit.
Yeah, gotta try for it. At least there's the chance of better food at the old house. No tools, no hope of mending the door. Even with him alive. If we get there with the tools and Rick goes into the valley, well, at least we have an outside chance of repairing it. We have to go, and real soon.
Jack Lauren was a prince of thieves. Covering his white hair with a fur hood, he sneaked out into the night to scavenge and wreck around. He returned in less than a half hour with news, good and bad.
See Wag. Easy steal. Two sec bastards. Chill them easy. Close by.
That was the good.
Triple hot. Sec bastards every place. Hundreds. Start fucking scan search. Roads blocked. Saw big sec man, bald and mustached. Shouting and pointing. Real grim fucker.
Zemyanyan.
That was the bad. Just before midnight, JB and Ryan stood on either side of Rick, ready to support him. The stars and stripes had been peeled off the metal stanchion, and Ginsburg had insisted on carrying it himself. He wrapped it carefully around his middle, using the leather belt on his coat to keep it snug.